Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 18. The title is the Light of the Sky of the Damascus and the Voice of the Lord, part 2. I'd like to read is Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 18. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for a letter from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belongs to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And it came about that as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. And the man who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. And Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus, is named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, here am I, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hand on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to thy saint at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon thy name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hand on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he arose and was baptized. This is the word of God. In the rest of the session, we talk about how Saul was on his way to the city of Damascus with a letter from the high priest authorizing him to arrest those who believed in Jesus. During this journey, he encountered a light from heaven that was brighter than the sun in the Acts chapter 26, verse 13. And he saw that the light from heaven was the glory of the resurrected Jesus. During those 3 days of darkness, Saul was unable to see and spend that time praying to God without eating or drinking. This period was a time for him to reflect on himself and to be recreated in Jesus Christ. As someone who considered himself as blameless under the law and harbored spiritual pride in believing he could be saved through his own works, he could not be used as a servant of the gospel of Jesus, which emphasized salvation through Jesus alone and by grace alone. Amen. The Lord appears in a vision to a disciple who lives in Damascus, where Saul is staying. The Lord spoke to the Ananias in a vision, saying, "Rise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying." You can see the Acts chapter 9, verse 10 to 11. The Lord also showed to the soul a vision while he was praying, indicating that a man named Ananias would come to him, lay hands on him, and restore his sight. You can see the Acts chapter 9, verse 12 in the vision, of the soul that God told him. In the Acts chapter 9, 12, right? At that time, Ananias answered the Lord, saying that this man had persecuted Christians in Jerusalem and had come to Damascus with authority to arrest them. However, the Lord replied to Ananias, saying, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel." Ananias immediately went to the street called Straight and found the house of the Judas, where he encountered Saul, who was blind and had been praying and fasting. He then informed Saul about the vision of the Lord had given him. That is, you can see the today's scripture, Acts chapter 9, 17. I'd like to read one more time. And Ananias departed, and he entered the house, and after laying his hand on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." When Ananias laid his hand on Saul, something like a scale fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. At the moment, Saul immediately got up and was baptized. Ananias told Saul, "The Lord sent me so that you may regain your sight." We should focus on the fact that the phrase "regain your sight" is mentioned three times. Three times. I'd like to tell you that the scripture, Acts chapter 9, verse 12 and 17 and 18. 12, 17, and 18. So that he might regain his sight. You may regain your sight. And he regained his sight. Right? The Apostle Paul's letter is recalled this moment when he defended his conversion before his fellow Jews, reminding them of the command, "Saul, look again, receive your sight." I'd like to give you a read one more time. It's Acts chapter 22, verse 13 to 16. "Came to me, the standing near said to me, 'Brother, receive your sight.' And at the very time I looked up at him, and he said, 'The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be your witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." The Lord enabled Saul to regain his sight through Ananias laying on hands and filled him with the Holy Spirit. Saul's eyes were not only opened physically, but also spiritually. He finally came to understand who Jesus truly was. The gospel that he had previously misunderstood and persecuted now entered his ears with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Moreover, he became a witness for the gospel of Jesus. In short, Saul's spiritual eyes were finally opened, allowing him to see the Lord. The voice of Ananias saying, "Saul, look again, open your eyes," served as a prophetic command from the Lord to Saul. This signifies that you can remember the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. He talked about Jesus Christ. I like to read, "For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Amen. The eyes that had judged Jesus Christ solely through the lens of the law were now illuminated by God's light in the heart of the Apostle Paul, allowing him to understand the glory of God shining in the face of Christ. He realized that Jesus was not a destroyer of lawyers, but rather the one who brought the glory of God. He came to believe this truth wholeheartedly. Today is when the Lord told Saul to open his eyes. We have the three things. The first one, it is to see the living Jesus Christ. It is to see the living Jesus Christ. He was a thorough Jesus legalist and held a hope for Jewish Messiah. As a result, he viewed Jesus, who was crucified as a criminal in Galilee, Jerusalem, and throughout Judea, as someone cursed by God. You can see the Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, "The cursed is everyone who hangs on the trees." Moreover, he felt hatred and disgust towards the report of the resurrected Jesus. He prayed a leading role in the stoning of Stephen the deacon, who was testifying to the Lord's resurrection. He even traveled to Damascus to arrest the Christians. At that time, the living Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, appeared to him, surrounded him with a great light of glory. And with a personal voice, Jesus called out Saul's names and revealed his identities. He asked, "Why are you persecuting me?" indicating that Saul was going down the long path. The Lord captured him with his light, enveloping him in glory and the living personal voice. As a result of this encounter, Saul came to see Jesus again. He saw the living Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. This transformation is reflected in his letter preaching, which always centered on the gospel of resurrection and the way of resurrection. You can see that the epistle of the letter of the Romans, chapter 8, verse 34, he talked like that. "Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us." Amen. Today, for you and me to see the risen Lord like a soul, it is not just about the act of seeing. It is about believing that the Lord's resurrection is also my resurrection. It means that even amidst the persecution and the tribulation of this world, we should not experience death, but rather a living transformation. In the Romans chapter 6, verse 4 to 5, Apostle Paul talked to us, "Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrections." Hallelujah. And second, to see Saul himself again. To see Saul himself again. Indeed, he saw this incident to see his own past, present, and future, and what he needed to do. He recognized his old self once again. Saul prided himself on being blameless in the righteousness of the law and on his zealous persecution of the church. And Paul confessed to this Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 to 6. However, after encountering the living Jesus, he came to see the knowledge of Christ as the most valuable thing. The righteousness he once held in high regard now seemed like garbage, rubbish to him. He regarded it as something harmful and ultimately discarded. You can see that the Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 to 9. In other words, he saw his old self, the fleshly man, and recognized who he was outside of Christ, outside of Christ. This realization led him to cry out, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" At that moment, he understood his position as being before Christ. And he saw himself as a new man. He saw himself as a new man in Jesus Christ, so he was in Christ himself. He confessed, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "Therefore is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." He recognized himself as a new creation, understanding that the old had passed away and the new had come. And also he saw himself as the least of the apostles. You can see the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. And furthermore, he saw himself smaller than the very small one of the saints. You can see the Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. And he further saw himself as the foremost of sinners. The 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. And he envisioned the incorruptible, immortal body he would receive at the Lord's return, becoming a glorious, resurrected being in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. And on that day, he imagined standing before the Lord, receiving the crown of righteousness and being in the place of victorious salvation. Now he recognized his existence in Christ, not out of Christ. In Christ, the reality of being AD is Anno Domini. This signifies a re-evaluation of his identity and purpose in life, urging him to see his life's mission anew. Amen. The last one, it means to see the mission of his life again. It means to see the mission of his life again. When he lay on the ground, blinded by the Lord's glory, he was already made aware of his purpose in this world, why he had come and what he was meant to be, meant to do. He testified to this truth before King Agrippa and Governor Festus, saying, "Rise and stand up your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and the praise among those who are sanctified by faith in me." You can find at the Acts chapter 26, verse 16 to 18. The Lord revealed to Paul why he appeared, why he showed himself, and why he saved him. It was a proclaimed gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ to the world. It was to deliver the message of salvation, forgiveness, and the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven to all people destined for salvation. He recognized that not only the salvation he received, but also the trials, persecutions, and the suffering awaiting him in his mission were grace. He especially considered it the grace to be made a servant of Christ Jesus for the Gentiles. You can see the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me." Hallelujah. He viewed his mission of setting apart the Gentiles as an offering so that God would find it pleasing as an act of grace. He saw himself as a priest of God's gospel. So whether in life or in death, he became one who belonged solely to Christ. In the Romans chapter 14, verse 7 to 8, I like to read, "For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." Amen. From that day forward, his entire life became a mission dedicated to being an instrument of Christ, almost like a divine calling. As a result, he profoundly transformed the course of world history and the men of nations. Dear saints, after encounter of the Lord to Damascus, Saul heard the Lord's voice telling him to look again, and his eyes were opened both spiritually and physically. Today, as believers in Jesus, do we see with our own eyes the mission that the Lord has given us? Are we experiencing the living Jesus, the Son of God, the resurrected Jesus, the Savior of sinners, actively working in our heart and lives? When we were outside of Christ, we saw ourselves as sinners. Through the Father's overwhelming love and grace, do we now see our salvation in Christ? Shouldn't we open our eyes to mission given to us and recognize our fresh start before the Father? Saul, see again. It is the command of Jesus to us today. Look again, it is a path from darkness to light. It signifies the transformation from the flesh to the spirit. It is the way from death to life. It represents the Lord's promise of a new future. It is the voice that brings us to be born again. It is a message of hope, not despair. It is the blessing of regeneration. It is the resurrection. It is new courage. It is a fresh start. It marks the beginning of soul becoming whole. Dear Saint, open your spiritual eyes and look to the Lord. Let us be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let us all also turn our gaze back to love First Church and recognize that we have been called to proclaim God's word in these last days. Now is the time to go out and evangelize so that we may receive the Lord's blessings of God in the end time. Amen.